Firstly, Eastern Downs and the Drayton Church send their greetings and thank you for the opportunity that I had to be there last week to talk about safe churches. They greatly appreciate it. And I wasn't here for Nathan's lesson, but because we at The Point have this great system on our webpage run by Craig, you can download it. So I had the opportunity to listen to Nathan's message and also see it. And I enjoy some of the insights that Nathan particularly produces when he's speaking. So I'm thankful for that opportunity. In his message, he referred to stewardship, but also as part of that, he talked about stewardship in relation to health and bodies. And I'm glad he explained Daniel chapter 1 very well, particularly the fact that Daniel went vegan at this time. I think he did a very good job explaining that that was exceptional. But then he went on to explain in Genesis chapter 9 verse 3, when Noah received his great blessing from God, everything that lives and moves about will be for food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. And again, great blessings from God. And when I thought about that, when, you know, everything that moves about will be good food for you, I thought, you know, it probably needs a bit of clarity, really. You know, we should talk about that. So what I want to suggest to you, it's far better to eat cake than eat raccoons. I think that's an important message we need to get across here. I need you to understand that, right? We might be able to eat everything, but it's better to eat cake than raccoons. So, other than that important message, my challenge today is to talk to you about stewardship of our spiritual gifts. So let me start with 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Here you have Paul talking to the Corinthians about the questions they're putting to him, and one was concerning the spiritual gifts. And we note this: I do not want you to be uninformed. The uninformed there from the Greek really means I need you to know. I need you to know. This is important. I don't want you to be uninformed. So the message is critical about, from Paul's point of view, about these spiritual gifts. I don't want you to be ignorant. It's another way of putting it. Huh? Then he goes on to say, now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Notice how he brings the Trinity together when he talks about these gifts. He talks about the Spirit. He talks about the Lord. And he talks about it's the same God using these gifts. But most importantly, he uses the word empowers them in everyone. Empowering means it's God giving the authority for us to use those gifts. For each of us to use those gifts. That's what the empowering is. And then he goes on, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Everyone has it. And what do they get? They get the manifestation of the Spirit. What is that? What's manifestation? It means you can see it. It's embedded in you. It's something that is visible. It's something that is working. It's in you. It can be seen. Right? And why is that? Why does he say that's important? For the common good. So Johan here is for the common good. Terry Lee's there for the common good. God has given each of them gifts. For what purpose? The purpose of the common good. Might want to ask ourselves, what is the common good? And we'll do that. And again, he talks about all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. He talks about earlier in that passage about the varieties of gifts. So each of us have different varieties of gifts. But they're all for the same purpose. The same purpose is the common good. It's a gift from God for the common good. Another passage in Romans chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Again, he reminds us, having the gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. This is God's grace. This is God gracefully giving each of us a gift. I don't know if you recall when you're at Christmas as a kid, I do, when the presents are out there, we get in there, we tear it apart, you know, we're so excited about the gifts. You all did it. And even now when you get gifts, you what's in it? Well, our wonderful Creator has given us gifts by his grace. And I wonder if we're tearing them apart to find out exactly what they are. As we would in the world. How great is he? Gifts by grace. Amen. He talks about these gifts. And then what does he say? Let us use them. can't use anything if you don't know what it is you got. Would agree with that, surely. Can't use a hammer, Nathan, unless you know how to hit it or use it. You have to understand what the gifts are. And when he talks about that, you notice how he says here, if service, which is the same as the deaconos, the deacon, in our serving, one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. This is not a gift that's a pain. This is the gift we get to use because we've got the capacity to use it. Give generously because you have the skill. It's like it's a skilled gift that you have, but we have to use them. It's interesting in this next passage. I find this unusual because here Paul's talking to Timothy and he says, I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, and a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Well, Timothy received a special gift from Paul. Actually, laid his hands on him. That would be amazing. But even with this gift, Paul reminds Timothy, I want you to fan into flame the gift of God. So despite the fact that Paul's put his hands and passed this great gift across to Timothy, sit back and it just happens. It doesn't just happen, Timothy. I want you to fan the flame. Get the fire going. Fire it up. That's the gift. Get it working. That's your job. Get it working. Again, he writes here, and Timothy is a very special person, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Again, we see, this is the elders have placed their hands on him, but look what Paul's telling him. Practice these things. Do what? Immerse yourself in them. Think about that. Immerse ourselves into the gifts we have. That means get in there. So that, what? All may see your progress. All may see your progress. That's a bit of a challenge, isn't it? We have these wonderful gifts from God, from the grace of God. Do you think when we look around and people will say, I can see the gifts of God in you? I can see the gifts working through you? Because that's what Paul's talking about here, so that all may see your progress. This is not something we sit back and just see what happens. We have to immerse ourselves in it. We have to practice these things. Peter writes, as each has received a gift, Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So Peter reminds us, each has received a gift. He, like Paul says, use it. For what purpose do you have the gift? To serve one another. And it's a gift from God. And what he says next is, as good stewards of God's varied grace. So that's stewarding. When we talk about stewarding, it's taking care of something that we don't own. That's what stewarding is. Using spiritual gifts expresses God's grace in its various forms. Serving others, therefore, isn't merely about what we do, and it isn't even just about helping others, but rather, most importantly, it's about showcasing God. Regardless of what our gifts may be, whether we are up front teaching or leading, or behind the scenes helping, we are demonstrating God's grace. Each expression of his grace contributes to a more complete understanding of who God really is. When we understand how using our spiritual gifts takes us beyond merely accomplishing some kind of task to helping people better understand and know God, we should all the more want to serve. And we should want to serve faithfully so we consistently and accurately represent him. Grace elevates serving. Not only are we to be faithful stewards of God's grace, but also because of God's grace. Spiritual gifts are given on the basis of grace, not because of who we are or what we have done. As recipients of his grace, we have been given an entrustment which substantiates our role as stewards and gives us the greater reason to be faithful. Stewards take care of that which isn't their own. So we have a sense of accountability as managers of his grace toward one another. When we understand how we have been entrusted with God's grace through the spiritual gifts we have been given, we should all the more want to serve faithfully. Last week, Nathan spent some time talking about stewardship in the introduction to his message. I was going to go over a couple of those points to remind us. All belongs to God. It's not us. It's not ours. All belongs to God. It gives responsibility. As we said earlier, stewardship is about looking after something that's not ours. And then he talks about, Nathan Shep, we're made for it. We're made for it. But, we're held accountable. We're held responsible. We think about it when we work in our daily work lives, and someone says, "Oh, I want you to go do this, Lara, and I want you to take responsibility for that." What does that mean? Well, could lose your job, don't do it well, lose your pay. Oh, no thanks, don't want that. But in this, brothers and sisters, we don't get no thanks. We chose to be baptized into Christ's death. We chose to follow him. Why? Because we want to have eternal life with Him. We want to have the joy of that. We want to have the joy of living a life of knowing where we're going. And that's why God so graciously gave us the gifts. But you've got to look after it. Paul writes in Romans chapter 14, "As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, not to quarrel over opinion. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on one who eats." So obviously here, and then he says, "For God has welcomed him." So obviously the vegetarian having a go at the meat eater, saying, "Who do you think you are? Huh? You can't be of God because you eat meat." Well, Paul's saying, "But God has welcomed him. He's one of us. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day is better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honour of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honour of the Lord. Since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honour of the Lord who gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. We talked before, whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. That's who we are. We belong to God. We can remind ourselves of that relationship. And then he talks about so then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. What's that going to look like? Are you ready for that? There's no escaping. There's no getting away. We have to give an account of himself to God. Everyone. So each of us will give an account to God. I'm reminded in Revelations. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, it was thrown into the lake of fire. Revelation's a very difficult passage to interpret. I could spend hours just on that little bit there, which I don't intend to do. But clearly, as Paul says, no one is saved by the record of their deeds. But clearly, there's a judgment day. There's a day where we have to give an account as good stewards. As we do in our jobs, and there's a manager watching over us saying, have you done this, have you done that, are you responsible for this, are you responsible for that? God is watching. Why would Paul say to give an account if it's not going to happen? Why would God say, I'm going to open the books and all are going to rise up and I'm going to judge from there if it's not going to happen? It causes you to quiver in your boots. Really? When you think about how am I going with my spiritual gifts, how am I doing with that? I kind of figure in Hebrews 10:24 where the words are, let us consider, or probably back to the Greek, let us contemplate how we can spur one another on to love and good deeds or love and good works. But he goes on in 25 to say, to encourage one another. For what purpose? As you see the day coming near. Well, I don't know when that day is coming, but it's coming. Are we ready for that? Are you ready to stand up and say, God, these are my gifts and I've done these things? Or is he going to look at you and say, I'm giving you a whole pile of stuff, Pauline, what have you done with it? Oh, remember the talents, I only got one gift and I hid it in case you came back and you wanted it back again. Done work. That's not his plan. That's not his plan. And myself and my fellow shepherds, we are very concerned for your spiritual well-being on this topic. Let me remind you, if you don't know what they are, or you want help in trying to find out what they are, we've already set the dates. And sadly, we've already had two lots, and I think we've had two people turn up. Maybe three, maybe four. Are you not thinking I've got to use my spiritual gifts? Do you think it's irrelevant? You don't think I need to check myself occasionally? You don't think I need to worry about that? I hope you're feeling comfortable about being accountable. Because God's serious. He doesn't write Revelation. He doesn't write Judgment Day for the fun of it. And we as your shepherds are going to sit there and think, how are we going to save everybody? I want to go to heaven and I want to look around and see the same people sitting there. Because you're all in my family. I am concerned about your spiritual well-being, like I would like each of you to be concerned about one another's spiritual well-being. That's what God wants. That's what he says. It's for the common good. It's not for my benefit. It's for Nancy's benefit. It's for Elvie's benefit. It's for the common good that we have these gifts. Let me finish with a couple of summaries of this. Let us celebrate the good news that God has given each of us a gift, a spiritual gift that is embedded in his grace. Let us resolve to use the gifts we have received to serve others. Finally, let us be faithful with regard to the stewardship of our gifts, so that God's manifold grace will be made known to the world through us.